Hey everybody, it's John. I just wanted to let you know that the audio quality on this episode is a little bit bad. So apologies for that, but I hope you enjoy the show. It's only a movie.
Hey Drew. Can we talk about monsters?
I want to talk about monsters.
Oh God! Listening to the Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
All right. So, have you ever bought Pogs?
Dude. Why are you asking me?
I'm asking you because...
Of course I bought Pogs.
All right, well that's...
Well, okay, maybe I should say my mother bought Pogs.
Oh.
I don't think I ever paid for... Well, when was Pogs? That was 90...
I wouldn't go that far. I would say maybe 89 or 90.
Really?
I think.
I wouldn't think. Put those squarely in the 90s.
Maybe. Well, maybe... I don't know. See, the problem is, in pinpointing it, I didn't buy Pogs when... They were Pogs, you know.
Oh.
I bought them when they were like...
No one cared.
In the back of the store, the clearance aisle, where, you know...
Yeah.
You can't even actually see the price because it's covered in so much dust. Hmm. I bought them for one reason. I only bought one pack of Pogs in my entire life.
Good.
Only one. And you want to know why I bought those Pogs?
Why did you buy...
Because those Pogs were Universal Monsters Pogs.
Classic monster
the classic
Pogs.
Monsters.
It was a monster.
So what were on the Universal Monster Pogs set?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Universal Monsters were well represented on the Universal Monsters Pogs set. Well, now, you may think that... Well, you may not think... Let me start over. Let me go back to the Pogs. So,
are you starting the whole story over?
No. I'm just going back to the Pogs.
Do I have Pogs?
The Pogs were primarily they were centered on Dracula.
Yeah.
The Frankenstein monster.
Okay.
The Wolfman.
Yeah.
The Mummy.
Good.
And the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Good.
These were all. I would say that the
stable
Pog distribution. Leaned a little heavily toward Dracula.
Yeah.
But that was okay, because Dracula was my guy.
What about Bride of Frankenstein?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was she on there?
She was probably on there. I can't remember specifically. The thing is, even though I loved the Universal Monsters, and I loved the Universal Monsters when I was 8, 9, 10,
deeply.
11, 12, dearly, very deeply, dearly. Deeply. I tried to sell my parents for... Monsters.
It's horrible.
I did. I was like, maybe if I get $13, I can buy a monster. Even though I loved the monsters, I did not love them enough to pay any attention to the Pogs after I bought them. I literally, I opened them up. I rifled through them. I said, well, that was maybe not a good expense, a good purchase.
You weren't really at Pog age at this point, right?
What was Pog age?
Well, I don't know, but...
Well, you're probably right. I was not Pog age, but I was monster age.
Yeah. So were they in different poses, or was it like the same Dracula?
They were pretty much the same ones. They were pretty much the same ones. I mean, there were some variations,
It was just a headshot, or
mostly, yeah. I mean, there were occasionally ones where they would have, like, you would have a posed headshot, and you would have one like an action shot from like a profile,
yeah,
as though like, you know, Dracula were being interviewed, and then suddenly he was like, "Excuse me," and he turns, you know, immediately to the right.
Yes,
yeah.
What can I help you?
No. He was talking. Dracula was talking to the interviewer, and then suddenly his attention was pulled away from the interview at hand.
Wait, so there was... I'll be Dracula.
Okay, all right. Well, I should be Dracula because I know what Dracula does in this instance. Yeah. What I brought you here to talk about is the blood. And the blood is... Excuse me. So, That's what he would do. He was almost
no
like...
No one can see what you just did.
I turned
problem.
To the right. That's why I was
describing
it.
You also lifted
it.
Your hands in a way.
I what?
You did this with your hands. You sort of put them up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I turned my attention.
You did them in a sort of grasping motion, like you're about to grasp.
Right.
Almost
that's what
it,
he does.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of sneaking
up.
Pose, right?
Yes.
That's him sneaking.
He's creeping.
Do you remember that movie, Nostradamus? I don't know if it was called Nostradamus.
There was a movie.
Or wait, is about that the that's the psychic guy?
Yeah.
What's the Nosferatu? Nosferatu.
I predict I shall drink your blood.
He's right every time. Oh man.
I will now turn into a bat.
It's unsettling. He always his predictions always
before
come true.
The sun rises, I will be in a coffin.
I will sleep in a coffin. I will wear a medallion.
Right again, Dracula. Circle takes a square.
Wait a minute. Now he's on
Hollywood Square.
No, Nosferatu.
Nosferatu, yeah.
And there's that... I've never actually seen the full movie.
The original Nosferatu?
Yeah, because it scares me. This is honestly a creepy-looking movie. Yeah. The one thing that I do, that I am familiar with, is when he's sneaking up those stairs, and the shot is from outside of this castle. Mm-hmm. Or whatever building they're in. And there's like a woman going up a set of stairs and you can see in the windows, you know, her yes. progression upwards. And then you see him, and this is Nosferatu. So it's not like good looking, you know, Gary Oldman style.
Right, right.
Dracula.
He's no.
This is like gross out.
Dainty English dandy.
No.
In his red velvet top hat.
He's doing that sneak pose where his hands are kind of limp, right? Mm-hmm. He's holding his arms up.
It's almost kind of like
his chest.
Like a T-Rex almost.
Yeah, like a T-Rex pose, yeah. And he's sort of creeping. And I think, this might be my memory rather than the actual thing, but I think he actually turns at the camera.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He stops and
yes,
he's like,
yeah, as he's approaching her. And
you're like, oh, God, Nosferatu.
Yeah.
What's your prediction?
Yeah. I predict you will be scared.
That's right.
That's interesting. I have never met anybody who is actually afraid of Nosferatu.
Well, keep in mind that I didn't watch the movie.
You just saw
I've
that
scene.
I've
seen these bits and pieces of it, and that scene really creeps me out.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's that whole expressionist... horror back in the 30s, the 20s and 30s.
I have to imagine that especially at that point, it was really scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah, imagine people are still probably not even used to seeing movies.
People
to begin
are scared
with.
Of moving pictures.
Right.
You don't even need to put a monster in
like,
it.
What ghastly magic is this that makes these walls move?
Yeah.
I defy it.
By Jove, this painting is moving.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. I am a
poppycock. So yeah, it was. There were already you were already sort of inclined to be a little bit suspicious of what you were seeing, or a little bit
unsettled. There was no precedent, right?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, you had previously all you had to go on when it came to. Really horrible things was really your own
real
imagination. Or right, yeah, yeah. And I mean, how many people run into a real vampire? I mean,
in the 30s,
well,
not many.
No. I mean, it wasn't Prohibition.
I think it was a state, state by state.
Okay, so some states,
it wasn't a federal.
Some states instituted an anti-vampire.
Yeah. Others were more lenient.
Bill, but
California,
some were,
right,
New well,
York, these liberal states.
Yeah, you can never.
You know,
you can never count on them to really
they kind of
to really hammer down the
California went back and forth though on vampires.
Did they?
It's like, oh, it's legal now, it's not.
Yeah, they have a problem with that.
Yeah,
you know, they can't seem to make up their
yeah,
mind.
It's,
you know,
it's very current.
I mean, yeah,
but so Dracula, but the Dracula on the Pog is your handsome.
He wasn't like a traditionally handsome. He was very well. He was somebody who probably was handsome at one time.
Who was it? Bela.
It was the Bela Lugosi likeness.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, like around this time, the monsters had sort of in their official depictions, they, for whatever reason, had started to deviate a little bit and to kind of neutralize them to where the costumes, the accoutrement and everything was still the same as it had been in those early Universal movies. So Dracula had the trappings of the Bela Lugosi Dracula, and the Frankenstein creature had the same physical shape and dimensions and costume as Boris Karloff's. But they had changed the physical features of their face such to diminish any actual likeness to the actor. And that was because they didn't want to, they were afraid that the actors would haunt them.
Didn't Bela Lugosi play a wolf
man? He did, actually. I don't know that he played the wolf man. He
doubled up on something.
He did a bunch of them. Well, he did. He was his first performance was as Dracula.
Yep.
And then he played Igor or Fritz.
Sheesh.
I can't remember which name it was, but he played the sort of wild-eyed assistant to Dr. Frankenstein.
All right.
In, I think, Son of Frankenstein.
Okay.
And I believe he may have played the Wolfman in one of the...
I think he played the Wolfman at one point.
I think you're probably right. Because at some point they had like 16 monsters in one movie, and they were out of actors. They were like calling Deanna Durbin, and they're like, could you and what's his face, Mickey Rooney, can you guys get down here? We need... They had to pull all of their big names together and sort of repurpose them.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember too, like that whole saga, it's weird because like people today will sort of decry monster-ish movies like series. They'll talk about something like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, and they'll just be like, man, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah. You know? Oh, they're doing another Halloween movie.
Right.
But that precedent was established back in the 30s. The first Dracula came out in 31, I think, and Frankenstein came out the same year. And they continued to revisit that well for like the next 15 years. I think like the last...
You would eventually have to, if you wanted to keep it fresh and you were serious about that, you'd have to get Abbott and Costello meeting them. They'd have to meet them.
Right, yeah. I mean, we're not saying that anything needs to come of
that
meeting.
Can we agree that that's the pinnacle of any monster's career is when they meet Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
So you had Dracula, you had Wolfman.
I had all the major guys.
Yeah. Was there any like odd ones, or was it just... there odd ones?
There are odd ones. I'm glad you asked that too, because there were those five or six that I mentioned before: Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Those plus the Bride of Frankenstein are sort of they're the core.
Those are your stable.
The core monster mates. Faction.
Yeah, right? the roster.
Yeah, yeah. You would first call string. Those first string. Yeah, yeah. But then that you also had some bench warmers, I guess.
Yeah.
In the form of Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ooh.
The original incarnation of the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
So this is the Lon Chaney version. That's sort of like the famous...
Is he a monster?
He is a monster. He is a monster. And we'll get to this, but...
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Physically, he has monstrous deformities.
He can sing.
He can sing. But his soul is also somewhat monstrous.
Ooh.
So he's doubly monstrous.
All right, but keep going.
So then there was that original incarnation. Yeah. And then there was the second incarnation of the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Who was not quite as popular, but the movie, arguably.
Not as popular.
He's like, he was kind of like the second Robin.
Yeah.
You know, everybody hated him. They had a poll.
Yeah. Kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, we said, there was... sort of the mad scientist figure in general.
Okay.
Who has his roots in Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But after a certain point, they realized, okay, Dr. Frankenstein's just a regular dude. He's not, reanimated by lightning.
Yeah.
So we can't keep using him.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually they just sort of brought him.
You can't keep making that mistake.
Right, no. Then you have the mad scientist's assistant was sort of on the fringe, too.
The Invisible Man.
Yes. the Invisible Man was part of the stable of core the first monsters. He was the first stringer.
Yeah. Were there their bench warmers?
Yeah. Oh, man. There were definitely bench warmers. There were like... So, after the core group got exhausted, when they realized, okay, we're done with these guys, then they started doing... the mad ghoul, or the man-made monster, or
that's just Frankenstein's monster.
She-wolf of whatever. Ooh, werewolf of London, that was another one. It wasn't the wolf man, but it was a werewolf.
Interesting.
They did, like, God, so many of these things. There was the island of Lost Souls, but something like that. Like
Island of Misfit Toys.
Isle of the Dead, or Isle of Dead Souls, or something. That was one that I remember. And then, like, that was sort of throughout the 40s. And then in the 50s, when it became, it shifted, the focus shifted to sci-fi.
Yeah.
It became sci-fi monsters.
Aliens.
And then you had, not aliens, actually. Well, there were a couple of aliens. But, like, so Creature from the Black Lagoon, he comes out in the 50s.
Oh.
And then there were a whole bunch of...
Nuclear...
irradiated. Yeah, you were led to believe that mutants. There was some sort of... There was Tarantula, which was a giant spider, of course. There were the Monolith Monsters, which were, I believe, an alien... It was okay. It was like a rocket had crash-landed on Earth, and this... Some sort of rocky... Almost like a rocky virus, or a bacteria...
Not the
started
boxer.
...started spreading. Not the boxer. It was in the... Hey, yo, what planet is this? So, then this whole town was taken over by these giant... Rocky Monolith.
Rocky Balboas.
Right. Yo, Adrian.
Yo, Earth.
I think all they did is just they would walk around going,
They wore shorts. Nothing else. They punched meat.
Yeah.
Hit it!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or Umbrellas in their midst.
When you think about it, if you're Dr. Frankenstein and you're sort of focused on reanimating the dead, right? It's a cure for death.
Sure.
And you...
So it's just a light Sunday experiment.
And
honey, what are you doing today?
He's a smart...
Reanimate the dead.
He's a smart man.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're looking to reanimate the dead, you probably want to soften the blow when someone sees it.
True.
Right. You don't want them to freak out. You want them to feel safe. So why choose like the most imposing dead man you can find rather than maybe a nice looking person? Why, like, a giant, strange-looking fellow?
I think that there are two reasons for that. One, because giant, dead-looking fellows are easier to obtain.
Easier to find.
Yeah. And, in fact, I don't think this is the case in the original novel.
No.
Frankenstein. But in the movie, the body is actually that of... Do they dig him up? No, I guess they do dig him up.
I think the movie is just the corpse they could get the, or not the movie, the book. I think it's just a corpse they could get their hands on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was anyone in particular.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like in the movie, in the original movie, he's actually, he's like a hanged individual,
like a criminal.
Yeah, that because he's sort of left up there as on display, he's very easy to obtain.
Yeah.
They don't have to dig. But now that I think back on that, the very opening shot of the movie, I think, is them grave robbing. They're in a cemetery. So I need to rewatch it.
Well, regardless.
But anyway, you could argue that Frankenstein was so obsessed with just the act of reanimation.
Yeah.
That he wasn't even thinking.
He was
far ahead.
Crazed.
Yeah, he was nuts. But if you go back to the novel, and this is a good way to sort of,
man,
sort
the novel.
Break out of the movie yeah. mold and go back to it, that's an entirely different take on it. And
yeah.
he is sort of, he's brilliant, Frankenstein is.
Yeah. He's also arrogant, I think.
Yes.
In the book, actually, I think he's very arrogant in the
yeah.
book. And he's sort of, there's a hubris to his character.
Yeah.
And it's actually written really well, at least for me. I both felt for him.
For Frankenstein?
And,
or for
no,
the
no,
monster?
No. Yeah, 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 for Frankenstein.
Huh.
As at the same time as sort of, you know, disliking him
mm-hmm.
because of his, like, arrogance. But at the same his drive was, I think it was simultaneously, you know, for good. He wanted to do good for mm-hmm. man, right? He wanted to cure death in a way.
I think I
but
don't know.
But I think that it was more. I think that was part of it, but I think it was more his. He wanted a claim.
Sure, he wanted to prove it could be done.
Yeah.
I think the part that where I side with him is that he had all of these. Physicians and scholars
yeah.
and everybody
sort of
telling him that it couldn't
him, yeah.
be done and that he was a fool for trying
yep.
to.
Yep.
So you do support him in that, you know, you want him to accomplish his goal and set them straight.
Yeah.
And show them, you know,
yeah.
like prove to them, yeah, you can do it. But his problem is that he is so megalomaniacal
yeah.
that he doesn't consider the ramifications of
oh,
what
yeah,
he's doing.
He's completely oblivious.
Right. He's obsessed with the act of doing it and does not pay any attention to the should he do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is he is so obsessed with reanimating the dead, he doesn't even consider the creature as a living being. Even when he does reanimate, you know what I mean? Like, he sees no... He's instantly horrified.
Right.
Right. When this thing comes to life, he is disgusted
yeah.
by it. And he doesn't, he's not sympathetic toward it at all.
No.
And this, you know, creature has just come back to life and slowly begins to, you know, relearn what it is to be alive and sort of he
has
starts,
no recollection of his
man,
previous
yeah,
life.
Yeah, I don't think so. No,
yeah.
You see that there, like as it progresses, there are glimmers of his humanity start to resurface. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever does remember his previous life, but
yeah,
you know, he like watches this family for weeks at one point, and starts to understand like love and warmth and stuff like that. And he realizes it makes him angry because he doesn't have it.
Right.
Right. And he's been brought back and he can't have it because he's a horrible creature. Right.
Right.
And then
nobody
he pursues. That is such a good book.
It's yeah. It's
written
fantastic.
By a 19-year-old.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Mary Shelley wrote it when she was 19.
Do you know what I did when I was 19?
You bought Pogs.
Just about. Yeah. I did not write a novel that will go on to be. Continually dissected and revered for
dissected,
reanimated, brought back to life. Yeah, for another 200
to bring
years.
This conversation back to life.
Years. Oh,
yeah, but that book just blows me away.
Yeah, and it's so like, it's so complex, and you like, I feel like when you watch the movie sometimes. It seems like a very simplified story.
Well, yeah. Are you talking about the Universal one?
Any Frankenstein
yeah.
movie, really.
I've never seen it captured. And I think that just speaks to how complex that book is.
Yeah. It's almost beyond
there's
filming.
Really...
Even though there are some great Frankenstein movies
yeah.
that have been made. It's so... The complexity, like, just of the character himself, like, where you have that duality with
mm-hmm.
Frankenstein... You want to support him, but you also hate him.
Oh, yeah.
And then even the monster, you know, you're sort of...
I think, yeah.
Your sympathies are with the monster because he doesn't know any better. He can't do anything about his situation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he does develop that cognitive ability.
Yeah.
Where he recognizes, he sees the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
But he still acts on his, like, vengeful impulses. Yes. So yes. He still chooses the wrong thing, even though he knows better.
So, so great.
Yeah.
The, now let's, let, it, also in the novel world, the literature world is Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
Which I never really liked all that much.
Nobody did. Nobody liked it. Good. Everybody hated it. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Dickens peed all over it. He was just ridiculous. I don't want anything to do with
nothing
this.
Nothing is good enough for Dickens.
No. No. I've never really enjoyed it. I appreciate it, like the style in which it was written. It's also
it's done in like a correspondence. Yeah, which is a strange choice, but and there's some pretty good moments in it. It has some really great horror moments. You know, like Dracula climbing down, like running. Or he's like climbing down the side of his castle head first at one point. Yeah. I think it's John Harker is observing this.
Yeah, that's like early on.
It's really early on. Yeah, and I think is it the same thing where the carriage picks up John Harker and it's like these strange lanterns on it or something. Maybe I'm mixing that up with something else. The Harker stuff is actually probably the best stuff. The John Harker stuff at the beginning, because that's the most stirring and sort of horror based. The rest of it becomes kind of like
melodrama,
and it drags, because it's about Mina, and it's also, you know, the women in it are just written so poorly, you know, and they're all just sort of like weak and victimized and you know, can't do anything for themselves.
Right. They certainly can't fight a vampire.
No, absolutely not. And so that book, I do think if you're into horror and you're into that literature, I think it's important to read it.
So
I think it's important to understand, because that popularized vampires and Dracula, you know what I mean? Like, and there are, like I said, there are moments in that. The beginning of that book is good, mm-hmm. I think. I think it's kind of a stumble to write it in correspondence style.
It's unusual. It feels a little unusual even today when
there's
there
a cowboy in it.
Right. Oh man, when the cowboy shows up, damn.
There's that guy from Texas.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's like I think that there's a character, maybe I'm thinking of the movie. I swear there's a guy from Texas.
I don't think so.
No, maybe not.
I don't think so. It's a pretty slim cast of characters. You've got...
I'm thinking of the movie.
Harker and Lucy.
Anthony
and
Hopkins.
As
Van Helsing.
Yeah, Van Helsing. Now, Van Helsing...
Let's not even talk about him.
What? You don't want to talk about Van Helsing? Van Helsing is awesome because he...
Are you sure there's not a cowboy?
Van Helsing is more so in the movies than in the book, but he's so obsessive in his pursuit.
Yeah.
But also brilliant.
He's a jerk in that book.
He is. Well, he's sort of, he's like Quint in Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, he's traveling the countryside. Yeah. He's riding in carriages, and he's singing shanties about.
Yeah. He's telling stories.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Vampire goes in the water.
Well,
I don't know. Cage goes in the
Vampire
water.
Vampire goes in the cage. No, yeah, yeah. Man goes in the coffin. Coffin goes in the castle.
Vampire's in the castle.
Our vampire. I don't know what kind of accent that is.
It's good.
Yeah, I've always liked Van Helsing.
Well, I find that interesting considering you just got done saying no one has to read Dracula.
Well, all right, I guess I could read it.
Well.
Wait a minute. Renfield is an interesting character in Dracula.
Another good one. See, shut up. Right. You got to read Dracula.
All right.
Renfield is pretty.
Forget what I said.
Another. He is probably one of the best parts of that.
Yeah.
He's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird in that.
Yeah.
In that book, every every chapter with him and the dude who's observing him.
Yeah.
Who's observing him in that book? Or is it? It's the cowboy, I think. No, it's there's some
Clint Eastwood. It's the man with no name.
It's some male lead, like.
It's not Harker. It's,
no, because Harker's gone by that point.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Because Harker dies initially, or does he just become very like?
I think he becomes weakened because he comes back and
he comes back. Yeah, he fights. Yeah. So is it Harker?
No, not watching no. Renfield. I don't know who it is.
But man, it's so. I love those observations.
It's that other physician. It's like the, it's the doctor who examines Lucy and Mina.
Yeah. He's like eating flies and
yeah. And like talking to the moon and stuff. Yeah.
So cool.
Oh man, that's awesome. I really that's what's missing from like every good story is some lunatic talking to the moon.
Eating flies.
You know what? Sleepless in Seattle would have been so much better if like
with a Renfield.
If like Tom Hanks's kid was like
Renfield?
Yeah. You know, Tom Hanks he's sitting there, he's all morose and everything, and he walks into his kid's bedroom to say goodnight, and the kid's like staring up at the
staring
moon,
at the moon. Talking to the moon. There's dead flies in the window, so he's picking them up.
Wow. And Meg Ryan's a cowboy.
Yep. Just like in the book.
In the book, yeah.
Sleep of Seattle, the novel.
Right.
Of course.
Right. By Bram Stoker.
Yeah. Bram Stoker's Sleepless in Seattle. Oh, wow. Yeah, Renfield's a good... see, so there's some really good elements, and it's just kind of a bummer that, as a whole, it just doesn't...
It's unfulfilling. It's overlong, and yeah.
I think it's... The middle is just so boring.
Yeah.
It's all about, like, Lucy and Mina being sick, and Lucy's... Isn't Lucy kind of, like, you know, forward for a woman or whatever? She's sort of, like...
Or is it Mina? I can't remember. I think it's Mina's the more demure one.
Yeah. Because I think Mina actually sort of somewhat judgmental of Lucy.
Yeah.
And when Lucy is then vamped, right? Yeah. She becomes a vampiress.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of chalked up to her promiscuity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Women. Cowboys.
Bram Stoker's women.
We've got 10 nights until the next full moon, but already there have been sightings of these creatures around San Antonio.
Yeah, those creatures are teen wolves, and as Ken's 5's Joe Kong reports, they haunt our high schools.
School's out at John Marshall High, but this could be any school. And with any school come the cliques, too. Cheerleaders, nerds, jocks, and goth. But lately, we've tailed another group on and off campus, literally.
We're not to be feared.
It's not emo, and it's not goth. It's, well, more animal than that. Meet members of the Wolf Pack, one of several packs scattered about San Antonio's north side.
We're not a gang at all. Like, gangs are posers. They just want attention. That's why they go on tagging stuff. The Pack, we're family. Like, we go to each other for our problems.
And yes, they sometimes meet under a full moon. That is, if
there's no novel.
There is no novel, but there is a story.
And I've compiled some facts about the Wolfman. Lore. I'm gonna read them to you. I'm gonna get your reactions.
You're gonna bust some, okay, so
I'm gonna bust some science on you.
Is this like word association? Or are you gonna
I'm just gonna. You'll see. I'm gonna read you. I'm sure you think you know all the ways that one can become a werewolf. But I'm gonna read you this list.
All right.
Of different ways that you, John, if you want to become a werewolf, these are the things you can try.
Okay.
To do in order to do so. Okay.
All right.
And
I think
you understand the ramifications. And I think. We should make it clear. We're not encouraging anyone become a werewolf.
Right. We're not discouraging.
I'm not against werewolves.
Right.
I'm not for them. This is completely unbiased.
I'm a werewolf neutral.
Yeah.
So I'm lupus agnosticus.
We're going to give this information out, but we are not in control of anyone who shall use it.
Okay.
Remove all of your clothing.
Okay.
And put on a belt made of wolf skin.
All right.
You could rub your body with a magic salve. Or salve.
How magic does the salve have to be?
Doesn't say. I'm going to guess pretty magical.
Pretty magic.
I would have to assume. All it's right. Not like, you know,
who's the guy from Night Court?
Harry T. Stone?
He's not his magic.
No, okay.
Actually,
what am I saying? He's very magical.
He's very magical.
It's got to be a Harry.
It's got to be a Harry Stone kind of magic.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
It's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's too easy.
The belt's really easy. Well, the belt, you have to get the wolf skin. That's difficult.
Right, because the wolf will kill you.
The salve, you just rub it on your body.
Yeah. Well, salve. But salve. If you're already naked from trying on the wolf belt.
You're doing these in succession.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. That didn't work.
Down the line. It's kind of like a double dare obstacle course. Yeah. You go through one and then you
physical
go to the
challenge.
Next one. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, you're already naked from the first one. Yeah. So, rubbing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe your skin's sensitive.
All right. Can you speak to whether it works or not? Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. I'm not going to try
that. Well, put it on your list.
All right.
All right. This is a good one. You can drink rainwater out of the footprint of the animal in question.
Okay.
Or drink from certain enchanted streams.
The animal in question. So that means you could transform into any animal?
I guess so. Any footprint.
So if you find like a dinosaur footprint, you could become a were-rex.
Okay. I think you'll like this one. Because you hated the other ones. 16th century Swedish writer Olaus Magnus.
Uh-huh.
All right. He says that the Livonian werewolves were initiated by draining a cup of specially prepared beer and repeating a set formula.
Does it provide the formula?
No. I'm going to assume
I was going to do that one. I was going to give
I'm going to assume the beer is MGD.
Uh-huh.
Or
stag?
Maybe stag. Ooh, I think it's probably
want,
stag.
Like, some sort of animal.
Yeah, sort beer. Of rustic.
Yeah.
Feel, right?
Yeah.
Leblat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go get some stag.
Try that one out.
Yeah. I'm going to do that right after we're done.
Yeah. In Italy, France, and Germany, it was said that a man or woman could turn into a werewolf if he or she, on a certain Wednesday or Friday, slept outside on a summer night with the full moon shining directly on his or her face.
You know, it's Wednesday right now.
It's Wednesday now. As we record this, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's the moon like?
I don't know.
Sleep outside tonight.
Okay.
See what happens.
I'll find out.
All right. Lastly, and this is your classic one that I think we can all guess, is satanic allegiance.
Right, yeah.
For the most loathsome ends, often for the sake of sating or craving for human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Standard Satan sort of
garden
ritual,
variety
satanic ritual, yeah,
satanic affiliation.
Probably a goat's head.
Probably,
I'm gonna say a chalk star of some kind with candles at each point.
Cupcakes.
Yeah, you gotta bring your cupcakes. Devil's food cake. All right, let's move to another subject here about wolves.
All right,
werewolves.
This is good.
You now know how to become a werewolf.
Right.
Now I'm gonna teach you how to fend a werewolf off.
Okay.
Should you come into contact with one of these?
Fending myself off?
No. Well, let's assume you have not become a werewolf you yourself, but you're faced with one of these teens, these crazy.
Uh-huh.
They just came from a werewolf party where, you know, he drank the beer. One thing you can have on you?
Yeah.
Rye.
Rye.
Yeah.
Like
I think
good
the
good old boys are fighting werewolves with rye.
No. Not the drink. The wheat, the grain.
Okay.
I think they're talking the grain here.
Okay.
Mistletoe.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Mountain ash. That's a tree. That's a type of tree. Wolfsbane is said to fend off.
I'd the like rain to... in Wolfsbane
nope.
falls mainly on the...
Wolfsbane.
Bane.
Yep.
Wolfsbane.
Then there's the classic...
Silver bullets.
Werewolves don't like silver. I think they don't like silver in general.
So if you shoot them with gold, they'll be like, thanks, man.
Yeah, hey, man.
But if you shoot them with silver,
don't be like, God, you're such a dick.
Yeah. Why you gotta be like that?
What's the werewolf like physically to you? There's lots of representations.
Yeah, well, I prefer sort of...
What's your favorite type?
I kind of like a hybrid. You know, I like
a mix.
A mix, yeah. So he's not crawling around on all fours like a wolf.
Yeah.
But he's not standing upright like a man.
Sort of
either.
Hunched, right?
Yeah, he's hunched over. Yeah. He's sort of like a giant squirrel. imagine a squirrel.
What are you talking about?
You know how a squirrel kind of like leans forward?
Yeah.
And he like holds his nuts.
I think hunched. What?
Or whatever.
I think hunched covered that pose.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think his arms are abnormally long.
I like that.
So that he can run on all fours if he wants to. I don't like the Universal Monster Wolfman.
The guy in
the
pants.
Design.
Just walking around.
Yeah, he's got pants on.
He's got some fuzzy feet and some fuzzy hands.
Yeah.
But
he's got a beard.
He's just a dude with a beard. Yeah.
I do, however, like the Teen Wolf Wolfman.
Okay.
But that's only because he's got attitude.
Right, yeah.
And I think we can all get behind
that.
He's
got style.
That is a weird-looking werewolf.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. No, when he first changes...
He has long face hair.
Yeah.
Long and sort of luxurious.
He's kind of like... He's like Cousin It with eyeballs.
Yeah. But that is an excellent film. I think that is one of the most accurate and inspiring werewolf films... to date.
Wait till midnight and we get a virgin.
A virgin?
Okay, right. Then what?
Well, our virgin takes the amulet, reads the magic spell from the book, and blammo, we blow a hole in limbo.
That's so easy.
Oh, Sanch, it's cake.
Yeah. Rudy, question.
Shit.
No need virgin.
Mummy. Let's talk about the mummy.
The mummy.
This guy.
The mummy. So that, I like the idea of the mummy. I don't really find myself gravitating toward.
It's a cool
mummy stories,
look.
You know? Yeah.
It's a fun look.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was great in Monster Squad.
He was. Yeah. Well, all of the monsters in Monster Squad.
Mummies in my closet.
They looked great.
Right? Wasn't he in the closet?
Yeah. Mummy came in my room.
Yeah, that's it. Mummy came in my room. Which, that kid is the most badass kid in that movie.
He's pretty good.
Because he comes up against pretty much every one of those monsters. He doesn't freak out. He keeps his cool. And he simply conveys to somebody that he saw the monster.
Yeah.
Mummy's in my... room. Yeah. Mummy's in my room, right?
He's in my room, yeah.
Doesn't he see the creature? Doesn't the creature show up while he's like at the banks of...
The creature steals his Twinkie.
Yeah!
Creature stole my Twinkie.
Yeah. I think he runs into all of them at some point.
Yeah. He does, well, and then the mummy comes out, the mummy attacks the Jeep at the end, and he's like, get out of here! That's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's like, just tells him to get out of here. He's like, hey man, get out of here! Go away, mummy! Go! Like he's, you know, a dog or something.
Yeah.
Go on.
What is the mummy?
Go on.
What's to be scared of?
Yeah. I don't remember if he encounters like Dracula. Well, obviously Frankenstein's monster, they all bond
do.
With him. But I don't remember if he encounters Dracula at all. And the Wolfman, maybe.
Another weird looking Wolfman too. He looked weird.
Yeah, he did, but I liked him.
Yeah, I liked
when
him.
When I was a kid, I liked him.
Oh, who didn't?
But yeah, good mummy, good creature.
The mummy, well, it's classic creature almost, wasn't it? He was a little stylized, it was very much...
He was more genuinely...
fish-like?
His facial structure and everything had a much more fish-like thing. It was less less exaggerated features.
I like the look of the mummy. It's a fun thing to draw, the mummy.
Yeah,
he's a good one.
Well, because you can get like, he's so angular
now,
and.
Did you ever read The Mummy by Anne Rice?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's called The Mummy, but
yeah, it was The Mummy or Ramses the Damned.
Yeah, it's essentially softcore pornography.
Basically, yeah.
Essentially, and I think that's the only Anne Rice book I ever read. And I don't know if
that's a good introduction.
Is that her MO?
Not well.
Is there a lot of softcore porn?
Not entirely. Her vampire books were.
Now that's Interview with a Vampire, right?
Right. It's the Vampire Chronicles.
This is a good segue into vampires in general.
Yeah, we'll talk about them. even though I don't really know that we have to, because I think they're kind of played out. But
well, I think we need to talk about that.
Okay.
Now, vampires, I think, enjoyed a very... they sort of enjoyed a charmed existence where they were feared. They were not... They were kind of... They were evil, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
There was no making friends with vampires. They were to be feared and sort of... they were, like, super strong and drank your blood, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they were out to kill you.
Mystical powers, yeah. They could like, you know, hypnotize you. And mm-hmm. there's all sorts of abilities they have.
They weren't, like, building Habitat for Humanity houses.
No. There was no mistaking.
Right.
They were bad news.
Hosting telethons.
Yeah. And vampires stayed in this mode for a long time. And then I would say when vampires started to become lame was in the Interview with a Vampire. Because that's where the first, like, there's definitely aspects of the cool vampire in that that version of vampire lore. But they're also kind of lame because they're kind of wussy and, right? They're like,
oh, I have to fancy go out and get blood and, again.
Yeah, they're kind of like,
when are they gonna start up a fast blood delivery service?
So that to me is like the beginnings of what is now like the worst time for vampires.
Yeah, potentially. I think there has always been, even back as far back as Dracula, there has always been that kind of melodramatic
element. Yeah, that waifish sort of.
Yeah.
You're right.
Part of it. I think it became
right. That emo aspect.
Yeah. It's very emo.
Yeah.
Bram Stoker's emo. After he developed Wikipedia, he went into the garage and he pulled his hair in front of his face and he just started.
He formed Death Cab for Cutie. And...
And it probably that was probably the first time with those books. I think Interview was published in 1976 or 77, so late 70s.
Okay.
And I think that was sort of an outgrowth of the culture at the time.
Yeah.
It was probably inevitable that it would get there.
Yeah.
But you still had for a long time there was a balance.
Yeah.
You know? There was still the popular iconography of the vampire under the Lugosi Universal model, where he's Victorian and he's charming. He can be charming, but he's still pretty much a beast.
You also had Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of
that definitely
fighting for the
to it.
The cause
Lost Boys, I think,
of like the badass vampire.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are evil vampires you don't mess with.
Basically, anything where you are humanizing vampires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Dracula, even though he had human characteristics, his goal was to get your blood.
Yeah,
you know. There was no mixed motive there. He was after.
He didn't
want to
go on a date.
Right. He viewed humans as less than vampires.
We don't need to go into, Twilight, True Blood, what all these shows and movies and books mean. But just to say that Vampire hit a mainstream kind of current. Mm-hmm. And sort of like all things that hit a mainstream current kind of became, it lost its edge in a way, you know, and now it's something else. And that's, I think that's fine. I think it's okay that vampires can be another thing and people can enjoy it for what they get out of it.
Yeah.
But I would, I'd like to see, you know, some counterpoints to it.
Sure.
And there's some. 30 Days of Night was a
great
counterpoint.
Good vampires. Although even in there, I sort of found myself wondering, like,
some of it.
Why are you guys all dressed in black?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, wasn't it like wasn't it like Scandinavian?
It was Alaska.
Was it
set in Alaska?
Oh,
yeah. They might have been from.
I'm thinking of Let the Right One In.
Yeah. Oh,
which I haven't seen.
Oh, well, you need to watch it.
Is it vampires?
It is vampires. Yeah. God, it's good.
I'll check it out.
That is a fantastic.
And the original, right? Not the remake.
I haven't seen the remake. I've heard that the remake is okay, but it's there. The things that I really like about that are so subtle that I really find it unlikely that they will be carried over in the remake.
What do you want your vampire to be able to do? Super strength.
Yeah.
Do you want super strength?
Sure.
I do too.
Yeah. Flight. I think flight is a major.
Yeah, flight is a cool thing.
Maybe not necessarily actually flying, the physical act of flying, but just being able to leap great distances very rapidly.
Yeah.
Kind of like the initially Superman. When he wasn't able to fly. Right. He just.
Oh, that's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, he just would leap tall buildings. Yeah, single
bound.
Yeah.
I think that he needs to be able to seduce.
Yes, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Change into a bat. There's your flight.
Your
true flight is the bat metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Metamorphosis.
Metalmorphosis.
Ooh. Bram Stoker's metamorphosis. What else must he do? Obviously drink blood. Or she.
Yeah,
she drink blood. Drinking blood with fangs. Retractable fangs, or are they always out?
I think... that's a good question. I think
retractable. Ooh.
Oh. All right. This is paper, rock, scissors. Retractable, unretractable.
Decide it.
I think... I like the idea that they are out all the time because I like the vampire, even though... it is a seductive creature. There is something off about it.
Okay, good call.
And traditionally, like they say,
pale.
The what's that?
Pale.
Pale. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Pale. Yeah. Because you want
sickly
looking.
Yeah.
Uncharacteristically.
Skin of alabaster.
Exactly. Exactly. Bram Stoker's skin of alabaster. I like them to be weird.
Good call.
Compelling. Still very intriguing, you know. You should be repulsed by them, but you're not.
Let me describe to you real quick the Dresden Files version of vampires.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the books.
Okay.
I'd never actually seen the show.
I don't know what the show is.
Yeah. So the Dresden Files, if you're unfamiliar, is about a wizard private detective.
Okay.
All right. And in this universe, there are werewolves and vampires and all sorts of stuff like that, right? So there are various types of vampires. There are there's a type called the Red Court vampire. These vampires look like humans, but they're wearing a human like costume, basically.
Okay.
And underneath it is this disgusting sort of like bat-like creature, almost with like a sagging bulbous belly and like. Distended skin that's sort of dark and gross, and so like they have to wear this person suit so they can fit into normal society, but the real monster is right underneath it, right? Then you have the White Court vampires, and these also look very much like humans. They're very pale. They don't drink blood. The Red Court drinks blood, I think. The White Court feeds off of emotions, human emotions, okay? And then you have the Black Court, which is the most traditional version of vampires where they can't be in the sunlight, I don't think, and, you know, they have the fangs and stuff like that. And then there's also reference to a Jade Court, but I don't think they've actually revealed what that is. But there you go, some interesting takes on vampires, I think.
Which I think is, some of that is has a precedent in folklore, too.
Yeah.
The idea of being in a
yep.
an emotional...
The author often pulls from folklore for his representations.
Uh-huh.
But, anyway, vampires.
Vampires.
Not doing too well right now.
No, they're kind of... They're in a slump.
They'll get out of it.
Right.
They'll get out.
I think after the All-Star break, I think they'll turn it around.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's John again. Join Drew and me for the second half of our monster discussion in a second episode on modern monsters. Just be careful and don't let the creature steal your Twinkie.